Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode number 66. I'm gonna cut right to the chase because you don't need to hear me talk. Mr. Adam Harden is a local comedian here in the Prescott area, and he has been busting his butt to generate some comedy shows. He's been hosting them, he's been promoting them, he's been organizing them. He's had a few recently, both at Lizard's Lounge and Barefoot Bob's. He also bartends at Barefoot Bob's. And he's had some great talent coming up from the Phoenix area and has been taking the stage himself. He's only been doing comedy for a year. I was there last February for his very first open mic at Brick and Bones when it was still open. And I've had him on the show here in the past. And he's just anxious and eager to see the comedy scene in Prescott start to grow. So what he's been doing is reaching out to his contacts, mainly through social media, through Facebook. And he's been inviting folks up to Prescott to perform. He's had some funny folks up here. Rob Mabee was up here a couple of weeks ago at Barefoot Bob's, along with Michael Longfellow, a full list of them. Check out some of the photos that we've been sharing at Mile High Show and on the Facebook page and see some of the quality folks that are coming up. Matt Micheletti, very funny guys. On the 20th of February, Adam organized another show at Barefoot Bob's, including on that bill is Girl King, who's very, very funny. Come check her out, as well as Billy O'Connor, a former guest of the show and hilarious comic and great author. He penned the fictional yet semi-autobiographical Confessions of a Bronx Bookie that you can get on Amazon.com. They'll be up here along with a full roster of others on February 20th at Barefoot Bob's. Now, Adam has also done shows at Lizard's Lounge, and that's where we recorded tonight. Now, it was my hope to sit down and talk with Adam a little bit, promote the show, promote his upcoming shows, talk about what it takes to organize a show. And we did a little of that before the comedy show started. But we got another little treat, so we'll get right into that. Also on the bill, including Adam, was Anthony DeSimito, who was the host, Eric Baez, and Genevieve Rice. I had never met Genevieve before that night, but I have been trading some messages back and forth with her because Genevieve is one of the organizers of the Bird City Comedy Festival. This is taking place in Phoenix, April 8th, 9th, and 10th. Now, I was surprised to hear this. This is actually the very first comedy festival ever for the city of Phoenix. So check out Genevieve's page, birdcitycomedyfestival.com. Let me double check that. Did I get that right? Yeah, birdcitycomedyfestival.com, with a full lineup that includes her, Anthony, a bunch of others that I've had a chance to see, including Billy O'Connor, and the icing on the cake, headlining that festival, the legendary Mr. Dana Gould. Yeah, you heard me right. Dana Gould coming to the Bird City Comedy Festival in April 8th, 9th, and 10th. Now, they opened the show, so you got some powerful hitters right there. Eric, Anthony, and Genevieve. They opened the show at Lizard's. Adam's eagerness, Adam's go-gettativeness, is that a word? It is now. He reached out trying to get some bigger names up here to Prescott, and he scored big. Headlining the show at Lizard's when I recorded this show was musician, author, just a Renaissance man, Mr. Mishka Shubali. Check him out at MishkaShubali.com. And then closing out the show, stand-up monster, JT Habersat. Now, JT, his web home is jtcomedy.com. He's incredible. He's got a few CDs out there. He's got a new special coming out. Mishka has a brand new book coming out, a memoir that I am anxious to read. I swear I'll make it up to you. A Life on the Low Road. It's about his struggle with and his conquering of his sobriety, some stories from the road, some just a bunch of different tales. Look for that coming out, I believe, in March. You can buy it at MiskaShubali.com. I'm sure it'll be available through Amazon as well. JTComedy.com is where you can find information about JT Haversat's upcoming special, the CD that he'll be releasing. So check both of those guys out. Very, very funny guys. And if you want to talk about dedication, JT closed out the show. The last 10 minutes or so, he was physically injured. He was bleeding profusely. So that old saying about leaving it all on the field, well, he left it all on the stage, on a towel, on his shirt, on a roll of paper towels, and then he continued to mop up. When he came over, and yes, big treat for me, he came over and sat down and recorded a few minutes with me, little old me of the Mile High Show. So thank you, JT. I appreciate that. It was such a pleasure to sit down with a comedian of his stature. He's got a podcast of his own. I'll link all this stuff to milehighshow.com. So please check these guys out. Mishka Shabali, JT Habersat at jtcomedy.com, the Bird City Comedy Festival at birdcitycomedyfestival.com. And of course, links for all that are right there on my site, milehighshow.com, where you can also find links to today's sponsor, audible.com, a link right there at the bottom of the page. You click on it, it takes you to the Audible page where you can choose from over 180,000 downloads of audio books, specials, podcasts, all kinds of audio content. And by using our link and the checkout code MILEHIGH, guess what? You get free stuff. It's like stealing. You get a free audio download and a free 30-day subscription. Now, even if you cancel that subscription, you still keep your audio download. It's free. They're giving you permission to steal. Use that Audible code at, or the Audible link at milehighshow.com. Use the code MILEHIGHSHOW. Get your free download, and then I don't care if you cancel after that. That's fine. Also sponsoring today's show is Amazon. Right next to the Audible link is an Amazon link. You click on that, it takes you to your Amazon login page, do your shopping, doesn't cost you a dime, but it lets Amazon know you got there through us, and they give us a little taste. So sponsor our show without doing anything extra and getting free stuff at the same time. So sit back, enjoy my little conversation with Adam Harden, and then, of course, my few minutes with JT Habersat of jtcomedy.com. And you know what? Biggest thing, support your local performers. And don't forget, birdcitycomedyfestival.com. Enjoy the show.
All right, Adam. Hey, let's see here. Cam, you lost more than the Super Bowl. You lost me $800 by not scoring another touchdown.
Are you serious?
Yes. If the score had been 24-17, Adam wins $800.
And what did you have on the game? Allegedly.
It was a football pool, and I had squares.
What'd you have to kick in?
$20 a square.
How many squares?
100.
You had 100 squares.
The whole board.
No, how many did you have?
I had 3.
Oh, so 60
I had
bucks.
2.5. I split one with one. One that I was going to win was all by myself. I had 4 for Denver, so they had to have, you know what I mean, 4, 14, 24, 34, et cetera.
Yeah.
And Panthers needed 7, 17, 27. Ended up with 10.
So 60 bucks is what you had real estate on.
Yep.
So over 10 to 1, huh?
Yeah.
10 and a quarter to 1. So 10 and a third to 1.
I think every time that you had one, basically it's 2.5. If you figure it out, it paid out every quarter as well. The first quarter, halftime, third quarter, and the final, it was 400, 400, 400, and then 800. So for $2,000, there was $2,000 total bet on it. And 4 winners. So
I'm way too cheap to gamble.
Right. That got me in trouble last time when I was heading to the casino to bet $150 and got pulled over, arrested, car impounded.
Was this the recent one?
Yeah, so that $150 that I was going to lose at the casino actually is turning into a loss of $2,000.
So what happened? What all? I just saw your post. It said, what'd you put?
What happened was I said that I knocked off my bucket list for 2016
right.
of going back to county jail. And not because I look good in orange, but because I really like oatmeal and orange wedges. And
is that what they serve up here?
Yeah, and sleeping in a small cell with two other grown men.
Santa Rita in California, they were known for their bologna and stale bread sandwiches. Bologna and ketchup, that's what I had for 2.5 weeks.
Well, I had a burrito while I was in there. And
that's high scale, man. That's high. That's
steamed vegetables. I don't know how steamed they were. I don't know how much vegetables they actually were.
That's what you get for going to jail so close to Sedona. You get ritzy, upscale food.
Yeah, right. Really. Nothing ritzy about it. They knew I was a short timer, so they didn't even give me a blanket or a toothbrush or anything or a bar of soap.
So what'd you go in for? What was the deal?
I was driving on a suspended license. I got pulled over because I had a license plate light out. And driving on suspended, and the car that I was driving had fictitious plates. Plates that I had taken off of my other vehicle.
At your car?
Yeah, I had taken them off my other car because I didn't want to. And this car I just raised it from the dead. It was sitting for 27 months, put $300 into it, got on the road, less than 48 hours. It is now at Tim's tow yard in Prescott.
You know what we need? This is what you need. For the Adam Harden Comedy Prescott podcast, you need to get a sponsor with one of the cab companies. And we just mention them all the time.
Right, and they give me rides.
And you get free rides.
I like that idea.
All right, so what are we doing here tonight? Where are we and what are we doing here?
We're at Lizard's Lounge in downtown Prescott, Arizona, waiting on the very talented Mishka Shabaley and JT Habersat for a comedy music show collaboration, as well as Mr. Eric Baez, Genevieve Rice, and Anthony DeSimito. Comics from Phoenix, which are on their way up now.
I've met Anthony before. I've seen him perform. And Genevieve is one of the organizers and one of the leaders for the what's the festival?
Bird City Comedy Festival in Phoenix.
April 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Which is the first comedy festival for the city of Phoenix to be organized as such.
That's amazing to me. I would have figured there have been more than, you know, multiple.
Yes, I think they did just one in Flagstaff this past fall. Big Pine, and
Ryan Statler took. He was one of the heads of that.
Yep, Ryan Blackface Stalder was part of that.
Huh?
And
I'm sorry, I just lost.
I saw that too.
I lost my concentration for a minute.
that was kind of exciting.
Yeah. So this Bird City
top corner in front of her.
This Bird City Comedy Festival is turned into pretty good venues. They're starting to name who's on it. They had the acceptance or the entry stuff going on the last few weeks. I think the cutoff was the 15th of February, if I'm not mistaken.
January, I believe. It's not February 15th yet.
Oh yeah, January. I'm sorry. Time warp.
Something like that.
And it's a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the people that have made the cut have been informed. I think they're putting out a list this week of venues and times and schedule.
Yeah, I traded some messages with Genevieve last night, and she's going to email them over. We're going to try and do some shows down there. One of the names that I was extremely glad to see on there is Billy O'Connor, who's going to be up here on the 20th, up here being the Prescott area, Prescott Valley at Barefoot Bob's, yep. A show you're running.
Are we actually recording right
We've
now?
Been recording.
Oh, this is crazy. I was not prepared to start telling ridiculousness. I thought we were still testing these mics.
No,
my apologies, Grandma, if you're out there listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's also hooked up to the PA system.
Oh, that's fine. Nobody's still laughing just like normal at my comedy shows. Well, I'm getting better, people. I just passed 1 year anniversary of my first time doing stand-up.
Did you get a chip for that?
A 1 year chip, right? Yeah.
Now, Billy, great comic, just an enormous personality, great story of his personal life that he has fictionalized in Confessions of a Bronx Bookie, and he's got a new one coming out that's concentrating on his life as a, again, fictionalized, his life as a New York firefighter. So he'll be up here next, 2 weeks from now?
Next week Saturday, the 20th at Barefoot Bob's in Prescott Valley.
So get out there. It's a neat venue, that little side room there that you've ran a couple of shows at already.
Yep.
They pack it really good audiences, inexpensive but good drinks, I noticed, when they run that little sidebar out of there.
Yep. Hands down, it's the cheapest drinks around, and the bartenders have a heavy hand.
So that's the plug for your show and who's going to be there, including Billy. But let's talk a little bit about how you started doing this, because typically, and we've talked about this before, typically guys who are running their own shows, especially as aggressively as you are, as you have been the last few months, are guys who have been doing this for a while, and this is a fairly new venture for you, right?
Yeah.
You just hit your 1 year
anniversary.
February
7th was 1 year that I actually did my first set of stand-up downtown Prescott. And I work at a bar, so that helped. And people have known that I've done comedy for a little while. And I kept pressing the bar that I work at. I said, hey, let me do a comedy show. And they were standoffish.
And them being Barefoot Bob's. And what's,
being Barefoot Bob's,
what's her name?
Cheryl Soto.
Yeah.
And
neat lady.
Great lady. And my bar manager, Haley Van Zandt. She finally gave me the go-ahead, let me put it together, and overwhelming success. I was blown away. There was over 100-plus people.
And how many have you done there?
We've done two there. Our third one is coming up, like I said, on the 20th. And so it just kind of fell in my lap. Comedy up here, there was another producer up here, Bobby Johnson, which I owe him for even putting me on his show.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a great guy, nothing but love for Bobby Johnson, and local venue just so happened to ixnay comedy for a while, and it fell into my lap, and so we're doing shows up here, and I'm having a blast producing it. And it wouldn't have been enabled to do it if I hadn't got my chance and met some comics and done some mics and networked, and Facebook has been
is that where you're getting the most of your contacts, through social media, through Facebook?
Yeah, definitely, and meeting people. I have friends on Facebook, like most people, that I've never met, and I make it a point when I do meet them to say, hey, we're friends on Facebook, you know, and they recognize the name, and, you know, so everybody has really liked coming up to Prescott Valley for the shows. The crowds have been responsive.
Who are some of the names? We mentioned Billy, who's coming up.
Yep. Mike Dapper.
Day-Day, who was up here. Mike Dapper, who's
Day-Day.
Phenomenal. Great stage presence.
Say some of my friends
Genevieve,
out there.
Genevieve
Rice is going to be here tonight. Anthony Desimito, who's on my first time I ever did a stand-up. He was there. Michael Longfellow.
That dude was hilarious.
He's great. Eric Sobjak, Rob Mabey, James Wells, Gordon McKay. These are all people that
Gordon's
have been here.
So, and we're looking forward to seeing more as they get to know...
Yeah, absolutely.
As you get your shows more regular.
Yes.
Now, who was the guy? I apologize, because last week I got here late into the show, about halfway through. And when I walked in the door, Frank
Wacker?
That dude, he was on stage when I walked in.
Yep.
And that dude was hilarious.
He was doing
great.
I
had never heard of him before.
Brian Kearley was right before him. I thought he killed it. He had a great set. David Kays. Great job.
David K.
He's a funny guy. Marcelino Crossman has been up here before. He's a really funny cat.
Brand new daddy.
Both him and? A year. He's been a year.
He's been a year already? And then Mike.
Yeah,
just,
Mike Dapper just had a baby.
Just a couple of weeks ago.
I'm excited for all the upcoming shows. March 19th at Barefoot Bob's, I got confirmation that I have James Petragallo, who's going to be headlining, along with Michael Turner as the feature.
Mike Turner.
Michael Turner is a great comic down in
the
Phoenix
name.
Area.
Now,
these are two of the top ten comics
James.
In Phoenix, in my opinion.
I was down at the at Stand Up Live about a year ago. I was down there for a job, and me and my buddy just, you know, we were down there for a few days. So we said, let's go see who's around. We'll go. And Al Madrigal was that was his weekend at Stand Up Live, and James opened for him, and that was a great show. Both, well, obviously Al, he's got a great pedigree. He's hilarious. He's a Daily Show veteran and a couple podcasts that he started. He's one of the driving forces behind all things comedy with Bill Burr. Ari Shaffir's on there, Burt Kreischer.
Wow.
Al Madrigal and Bill Burr are the ones that started all things comedy. That's their network for comedy and okay. comedy and comedy podcasts. So he's well established. I had heard of James before, but I didn't know. I hadn't seen him perform. Saw a couple YouTube clips and stuff, yeah. and he tore it up. Yes. He did incredible. And to hold your own with one of the pillars of the comedy scene for the last decade is no small feat.
Yeah. So he's going to be here at our show on the 19th at Barefoot Bob's. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's going to be a great show. It's just been kind of a whirlwind of a year. I mean, since I've done stand up for the last year, I've been arrested twice and went to county. spent a couple 3 days in there over that. Got some good material out of it, though. You know what I mean?
You know, there are better ways to get material.
Yes, this is the truth. You know, but I'm trying to look at it that light. I try to see
there's
the
nothing.
Good and the bad, but.
So, first off, thanks for making time to come up here between Phoenix and Vegas.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having us.
Now,
I've never been here before.
Yeah, Prescott's an interesting spot. I've been here about 10 years from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, right on.
And you come Austin by way of New York?
Yeah, I grew up in New York, and I've been in Austin for a decade. So my Texan friends tell me I have dual citizenship, technically, but they still call me a Yankee.
Texas is pretty much its own country, right?
Well, it depends who you ask, man. I mean, Austin, the joke is no one's from Austin, although I do know some people who grew up there. But generally, everybody cool in Texas moves to Austin, although I know people who are really cool in Dallas and Fort Worth and... You know, Denton, Texas has a really cool scene. Bryan, Texas near College Station has a great scene. Houston, you know, all over the place. Corpus Christi. It's like anything else. There's pockets of cool everywhere.
Yeah.
You just got to find it. It's I did Beaumont recently and people were warning me like, don't go to Beaumont. But it was cool. They treat us well. And, you know, people, I like having to prove it in new markets. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I've been through Texas on road trips, literally through, you know, stopping for gas
miles.
And food. Yeah, stopping for gas and food.
Yeah.
What I know about Austin is just what I hear from like South by Southwest. That's
what brought me there. Was South, and that everybody always kind of, you know, South by has kind of become this monster in that the locals, if you live there year round, it's kind of a blessing and a curse in that people like the economic impact, but are just like, God, it's like. Every industry, you know, sleazebag invades for a week, and it's kind of blah, industry. But, you know, to me, I can't knock on South by at all because it got me down there. I was working in radio in New York, and I flew out there to be, you know, the rep for the station. I was working in Woodstock, New York.
What were you doing on radio? Were you on air? Or?
I worked at a radio station called WDST in Woodstock, New York, and there's a guy, Nick Harcourt, who went on to become the host of Morning Becomes Eclectic in L.A., and he left and was nice enough to, as a fledgling DJ. No, for real,
you
let me know.
You were amazing.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. If you guys need anything, talk to Mishka.
Mishka!
Please help with merch.
Hey, Lowell, they might take trade. I don't know. He runs the local smoke shop.
Oh. I got to fly from Vegas tomorrow, so I don't know how much that'll work out, but generally, yeah. I worked at WDST, and Nick Harcourt was cool enough to give me his show when he left to go to KCRW. And so I was like the resident indie snob. I was like,
gotcha.
I was like the college kid that told them what was cool and told them, like, don't play Smash Mouth. You know, you know what I mean? Like, I was the resident. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. Don't be that. Because they were a very cool, cutting-edge indie independent station. And they flew me down for South by Southwest. It should be a few years in a row to kind of rep the station. And that's how I discovered Austin. And one year I brought my wife with me. And, you know, we were both New York natives and loved it. But the pricing is insane there. The taxes are insane there. You know, the cost of living is insane there. And basically my wife flew out to interview for a job in Austin and beat out 200 people and got it. We just put our house on the market and left. And so we've been there for 10 years, and that's how I got there.
Nice.
But, I mean, South By also is the reason I got signed to Stand Up Records.
Yeah. Now, so when you were doing radio, was it strictly music? Were you doing stand-up at the time,
no,
too?
No, I wasn't. I started, I first got on stage doing stand-up when I was 16 in New York City at Stand Up New York. And I was always a comedy fan. I remember seeing George Carlin when I was very young. I remember being like 10 and getting a copy of early Eddie Murphy material from like somebody's older brother on cassette and listening to it and just dying. You know, this bit about the barbecue and everything, just roaring. And we used to listen to it in secret, all my you know, junior high buddies and stuff. And so I always loved stand-up, but I was more of a punk rock kid. You know, I was putting on shows. I was in bands. I ran a fanzine called Altercation, which eventually became Altercation Records, which is the label I run now. And I didn't really start doing stand-up for real until I moved to Texas. I moved to Texas in 2005, and I had done some small regional tours with college buddies in, like, 96, you know, or earlier, 95. Yeah. And I had put out two self-released just CDs, like very raw recorded sets I did in like Pennsylvania or whatever, like 25-minute stand-up sets. And somehow my new friends I met in Austin found one in my car or something. They're like, "You did stand-up?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, for a minute, kinda, not really. We did some colleges and stuff, but not really. We did sketch and stuff like that." And they're like, "Can we have this?" I'm like, "Totally." And they called me the next day. They're like, "Dude, this is really good."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Well, first of all, thank you. No, it's not." Because I was like, you know, 19, 20 years old. But it kind of put it in my head. I was like, "Well, maybe this is something I'm worth resisting." Like, you know, I totally relocated at that time. I didn't have any job. Didn't know a person. We didn't know anyone in Austin when we moved there. So maybe I will try doing stand-up again.
The fresh start.
Yeah, just kind of like, you know, this could be a cool reinvention of sorts.
And looking at it from a different standpoint, you know, from when you, opposed to when you were 19.
Yeah, well, right, exactly. And, you know, by that point, I was 27. And so I said, "Yeah, let me try it." And I booked a local show, and it went surprisingly pretty well. And then word kind of got around. There's this guy who was doing rock clubs, because I didn't do the comedy club. I rented out like a rock club and put on my own show. And it went better than expected, and response was good. And thanks in no small part to Austin being a cool rock and roll city. And so it kind of snowballed from there, where word got around, and suddenly the next thing I know, I'm opening for Gene Garofalo, and I'm opening for, you know, people like, for better or for worse, Andy Dick. But all of the giant air quotes, you know, alternative comics that came through by bypassing the normal, the way you're supposed to do it, open mic, work your way up to the host, work your way up to
going
feature.
Through the clubs.
I just bypassed that and said, "I'll just book my own show. I'll roll the dice," because I came from that DIY world. And, you know, it kind of spiraled to the point where I was opening for people like Stanhope and Henry Rollins, and that just, it just kind of snowballed. You know, I just kind of kept doing it.
And Stanhope is known for really doing his own thing.
Yeah, he's a huge influence on me, and I always refer to Doug as my Yoda. Well, it's like, you know, I met Doug in the first show we did together, I think, was 2009, and, you know, I was booked. I promoted the show, like I put the show on. And we sold it out, and he booked me for 8 minutes. And there was a second comic that was booked to do, you know, the normal 15 to 20 feature act. And then Doug, because Doug had never met me before. We met via the internet, you know. Just, I was like, "Hey, if you need help." I was writing for a magazine called Amp Magazine, which was actually a California-based punk rock magazine. And I ran a comedy column thing out of that, and I interviewed Doug via email. And he was like, you sound like you have your stuff together. I was like, "Well, if you can judge that via this drunken email interview, like, thanks." Like, right on. And I said, "If you ever need help with an Austin show," he's like, "Actually, I'm looking for a new venue there." And so I got the show booked within 20 hours. And he was like, "All right." And the middle, the feature, showed up way late. And so I did my 8 minutes, and it went really well. And I was like, "Well, I'm booked for 8 minutes. I got to go." And Doug came out and was like, the middle guy, lady,
"Keep it
isn't
running
here. You keep going." He was like, "You don't stop." And I did 30 minutes, and it went really good. And a Doug Stanhope crowd, especially for the first time, I mean, for a stand-up crowd to be like, "Yay, please stay," is the equivalent of like going to a Tool show and opening that and not having them throw stuff at you. So it made a good impression. That was kind of the beginning of my relationship with Doug. And now the Stanhope Celebrity Death Pool presents the dates I do with Mishka and and the altercation tour generally. And, you know, we were privileged enough to do a secret show at his house this weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's just been such a... Doug's the best because he will bust your balls like no one else. And but it's a very... I feel very privileged to be in whatever that club is.
Yeah.
And also to be amongst comics like Andy Andrus and Christine Levine and Junior Stopka and everybody that's also in that same kind of Doug crew.
It's
that we, you know, we can we appreciate each other, but we also will be like, hey, that sorry.
Yeah.
Or we'll also be like, we appreciate each other, but we can also be like, hey man, that's kind of that's a lame bit. Or yeah. Like, you know, or like, hey, I'm busting on you right now because you know, like this weekend I won the football pool, which is, I don't know sports at all. It's like total random ridiculousness. And Doug was like, hey, sweet, $250. JT can buy a new 7 minutes for that. I was like, And of course, it was funny to me because, you know, the one bit that I did at his house, I had driven for 6 hours and was brain dead by the time I got up at 1 in the yeah. morning. And I did something that he happened to have heard something in the recesses of his brain. I have a new hour coming out that he's never heard in April on Stand Up Records called Misanthrope. And of course, I got to choose the chestnut just to kind of coast. Yeah. And of course, he busts my balls. But he's like, man, I only do that because I like you. Like, if I didn't like you, I wouldn't say anything. I'm like, yeah, I'd be insulted if you didn't make fun of me.
His podcast, his specials, his crew, I guess I could say, including you guys, you and Mishka.
Yeah.
It's so raw
and
honest, just like your show tonight. I mean, you kept going through.
Bleeding out of my face.
That's it's refreshing to see in a lot of comedy, and it has been this... Every generation has it where there's certain acts that are so polished, so so clean. They're good. I'm a comedy fan of all sorts. You know, people bag on guitar comics, prop comics. You know what? If they make me laugh, it's funny. I don't distinguish, but it's nice to see just something so raw.
Thank you.
And I get that from listening to Stan Hope. Thanks. Seeing you tonight.
Thanks.
Now, where can folks reach out and get your merch, get your specials? Where can folks reach you? Social media, Twitter, what do you got?
Yeah, I got jtcomedy.com is my main source for all that stuff because I won't let me make people spell my last name, which is how we're sad. He's got like 97 A's. But just at JT standup is my Twitter. jtcomedy.com has all the stuff on there. Like I said, my new special, I just filmed a new 1 hour special on Stand Up Records out of Minneapolis.
So it's already recorded?
Yeah, we filmed it in July at a great rock room in Dallas called Three Links, which is where, you know, all the punk rock bands I'm buddies with, like the Dwarves and Off of Their Heads and Riverboat Gamblers, play quite a bit. So I didn't want to film in a comedy club. And the first record I did for Stand Up Records was in Austin called Hostile Corporate Takeover, which is available on vinyl. But this new one, I wanted to film something. So it's a brand new hour.
Nice.
Full filmed hour. And it'll be on a lot of like streaming download sites and stuff, but we're still working that out specifically.
Get the details. When are we looking to be able to see that?
We're aiming for April right now. The only, like, pretty much it's more or less, I saw the final edit last week. Bleeding Heart Productions are good buddies of mine. They work for like A&E and all these. So it's like a pro camera.
Nice.
Really. I'm really excited about it. And Stand Up Records, Dan Schlissel, who runs that, has been such a champion of me in a really great way. He really believes in like the longevity of because you know what I do can be a hard sell if you're like you're a comic that kind of bypasses comedy clubs.
Yeah,
you know. But I really want to emphasize too that I'm not anti-comedy club because that's a common thing. My whole thing is like. A lot of comedy clubs, there's a way you're supposed to go about it. There's a hierarchy, and it's like you do this, 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 and if you get in with this booker, then you get a feature work, and blah, 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 blah. And my whole thing is, like, I will happily work with comedy clubs. You know, I'm going out, I'm headlining the Whip Theater in Chicago this July. I've done the Drop Comedy Club in Indiana. I've done, you know, the Hollywood Improv and a lot of the improvs on the West Coast with Joe Sib, who runs Side One Dummy. And it's like, I'm happy to work those rooms because it's easier. You know, it really is easier because everything's taken care of. It's an audience that's there to laugh, even on a rock night. Like, tonight was great, and this is what I'm used to. It's one of my comfort zone because it's a rock club where people are like, oh, comedy, I'll check that out. But at a comedy club, people are coming there to laugh.
Yeah.
But it's also, they're also coming there to eat chicken wings and for date night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just saw early on, I'm like, if I want to build up a crowd that's going to get me and, you know, again, stand up, bust my balls about being the referential guy because he's ancient and doesn't get my references, and I'm almost 40. But I always tell him, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't work in Bisbee. It works everywhere else just because no one here gets it. But Mishka Shubali, my best friends in the world. You know, I never want to be the guy that's so inside baseball that I can't appeal to a wide audience of crowds. But, you know, but I'm also not going to play the reindeer games of the what I call tiny kingdoms, which a lot of stand-up scenes, it'll be you need to be nice to this booker.
Gotcha.
Or you need to not talk about religion or politics.
So I'm guessing corporate gigs aren't in your future anytime soon.
You know, I'm not opposed to them, though, either, man. I mean, I've talked to...
That's the big check.
That is the big check, but screw a big check. A big check isn't why I do this. I left a very profitable marketing gig that I liked everyone I worked with. I did it for 2 years, but basically it got to the point where there was management shifts and, you know, I couldn't, it was one or the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was the most money I had ever made in my life. And I had been able to work remotely and go on tour when I needed to go on tour. And they were doing away with that across the board. It wasn't anything against me. And I just said, I got to walk away from this high paying job and roll the dice and go out on tour, you know, and I've been doing that for 2 years. And it's the type of thing, it's like, it's only recently. You talk about 2008 when I first started, you know, the Altercation tour and started doing it for as real as I could, given the realities of also, you know, having a wife and a house and all those, you know, adult things. I'm not 22. I'm not going to, you know, later, baby. You know what I mean? I'm never going to be the Motley Crue, like, you know, rely on the lady. And my wife's amazing. But I like, you know, I never was. I'm too in my head responsible to just coast on somebody else's dime. And so I did as much as I could then. We toured a lot, but it wasn't full time. And when I left the marketing thing, I'm still bleeding out of my face. Still bleeding out of my face. This is the first show I've ever done where I bled for the last 10 minutes of my set.
You left it all there.
It was
empty, you know, tank on the stage.
But I guarantee everybody will remember this show.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, man, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but basically, like, I'm not anti-comedy club. I just, you know, it's cool now because the you know, the 7 years of doing the work and kind of proving it. And, you know, incremental things like crossover crowds with somebody as brilliant as Mr. Shubali, who does music and is a brilliant writer. And, you know, people on paper, you know, a comic and a writer slash Tom Waits-esque, Bukowski-esque guitar player, be like, is that going to work? But it works. It's very synchronistic. You know, and also, like, I'm at the point now where, you know, if comedy clubs want to work with us, then I'm stoked to work with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they're not, that's okay, too.
Sometimes you're trapped into that formula of, like you were saying, you know, the opener, the feature, the headliner.
Yeah, which is the way it's done. You know, like, it's the other thing that, you know, sometimes it's a bummer if that, you know, the comedy club scene is big, but it's not big in that there's probably, I would say, 10 to 12 booking agents that handle all the comedy clubs in the country. You know, and sometimes it's turnover where somebody gets fired and somebody new comes in. But it's very much people who have been doing it for a long time.
And those same names everybody's been working with for years. Yeah.
And, you know, and I know they've heard of me because I've had them call me and say, can we give your phone number to NBC? So it's not like, you know, for stupid stuff. And it's not like I'm so underground that they don't know about, you know, they're just not in the know on it. It's that if they're booking a festival and I'm the guy that is going to do the rock room and theoretically maybe take some crowd away that night or whatever, or is the guy that isn't anti-comedy club out loud but is just kind of also not pro that, because I think a lot of those models are dinosaur models.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of comedy clubs will paper a room, which is they just mail you, hey, it's your birthday, bring 12 idiot coworker friends, and you get in free. Spoiler alert, no, you don't.
2-drink minimum.
Yeah. You have to buy 2 $8 drinks, and that adds up to a lot of cash, and you have what ends up being, you know, 16 people that are there to see comedy with a capital C. They have no idea who the act is. There's no essence of, you know, I'm excited to see this particular performer. It's like going to a movie, and there's nothing wrong with movies. I'm a bit of a snob when it comes to the specific arts, like the music and comedy and film. But I also like blockbusters. I went to see Star Wars. I like going to see dumb Jurassic Park movies. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I like going to comedy clubs sometimes just to laugh and just to, you know, it's almost like study time for me. Like to see, but at the same point, man, you know, like, and a lot of those same bookers book festivals. So there's times where, you know, I'm signed to a label that's, you know, won Grammys for comedy with, they put out records by Lewis Black and Doug Stanhope and Marc Maron and David Cross and Patton Oswalt, which are insane people to have a kinship with on any level. And yet some festivals, I can't even get in the front gate through somebody who's been doing it 6 months because I'm not in that wheelhouse of the club circuit. So that can be weird, you know what I mean? But at the same point, a show like tonight where I have people who I know, the biggest thing I get at a lot of my shows is that punk kids coming up saying, man, I've never been to a comedy show before ever.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget.
And this speaks right to them. Yeah.
You know. And it's also, man, I don't want to be so inside baseball where I'm just telling Danzig jokes and people don't get it. You know, I want to be open-ended to the point where people that go to bars and go to nightclubs can relate enough that they're like, that was cool. You know, that was something I can relate to.
A fun time's a fun time. He just hit it from a different angle.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I never want to be the indie snob, even though my glasses betray that look. By, you know, being like, oh, you don't know who Pavement is or something. You know, I'm not going to do those jokes. You know what I mean? Like, tonight I went a little referential on the Tegan and Sarah joke because I always survey the crowd and kind of like feel it out. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, this is something. And I was told that this was a good metal town, so I did some of my metal stuff. But, you know, in general, you know, there's times where I don't mention the punk rock thing at all and still will do an hour, you know? So, I mean, I don't know, dude. It's, again, long tail on this cut. I'm sorry I'm rambling. I still got blood pouring out of my face and drinking some whiskey. But it's like, I'm just stoked where everything is going. And it's also the matter of, like, it hasn't plateaued. It's like the work that Mishka and I are doing. I mean, I did 113 dates last year. Mishka is a nonstop road dog. You know, this is the first run of the new year. You know, it's barely February. And this was a, 10-day outing. Short thing for us, mainly to get to see our friends in Bisbee and stuff, but also do some shows around it. And it's actually at the point now where after 7-8 years, like, I'm seeing the work pay off in that the promoters in each scene is excited. Like tonight, you know, we needed a show between Phoenix and Vegas.
Just on the road, that would give you a chance to stop, get off the road for a little bit.
Yeah, theoretically,
for a few hours.
You know, it's a weeknight. We could have theoretically taken a night off. That would have been fine. But you know, Adam, who put on the show tonight, got in touch and was like, "Dude, please come do this show." I'm like, done. You know, done. I don't care if it's bad. You know, Adam busted his ass and made it a really fun show. And it wasn't bad. It was great. And, you know, it's the type of thing, doing stuff like that, where some other comics might be like, oh, I'd rather just, you know, watch Netflix and sleep or whatever. You know, like, nope.
Well, we appreciate you coming by, man. Where are you headed for? Vegas, right off the bat.
Yeah, Vegas is where we end. We started in San Diego. So Vegas
And what's up in
tomorrow.
Store for you?
Well, in March, I'm going out with this amazing band, the Svetlanas from Russia, who are signed to Altercation Records. They have a split coming out with the band The Dwarves, which I mentioned on stage tonight, and they're just insanely amazing. And my buddy Joe Stats, who's a regular on the Altercation Tour, will be out with me. So we're going out and doing like rock clubs for like 10 days and ending at South by Southwest. And then April, I take a little bit of a breather because I'm hoping my record's going to come out, so probably do like a hometown release show thing. Do some business and pre-press and, you know, interviews and stuff like that. And I'm going to do a couple shows with Mike Stanley, who's a stand-up records guy around Texas. And then in May, I go out with Brian Ziola, who's an amazing Texas comic from Houston. And we're going up. Where are we going? The schedule's nutty. May, we go out kind of northern out of Texas and do like Fayetteville, Arkansas, and do a big loop all the way up there. And then we're doing a festival in Memphis in June, and I'm going out to Minneapolis in June. I'm basically booked through September. headlining Chicago and a bunch of Midwestern states in July.
That's a lot of miles, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, September, I'm doing the East Coast. I'm hoping Mishka and I, because Mishka's new book comes out in March. My new, like I said, my new special comes out in April. So we kind of, this is like a, also a hang time run for us. But we're hoping to get together in like September because I'm booked to do East Coast stuff. And theoretically, on paper, right now, we can hook up and do some stuff.
Good deal.
You know, festivals in the fall. But yeah, man, basically the special comes out in April. That's the big thing. It's called Misanthrope. It's on Stand Up Records. Go to standuprecords.com or jtcomedy.com. And also I run a podcast myself called theroadpodcast.com.
Nice.
Has interviews with folks like Stanhope and Rollins. And it's like this. It's a very on-site podcast. Nice. There's no studio stuff. So I have portable gear.
What do you record with?
I use an H1, an H1 portable. I was in Costa Rica on vacation last week and did one a nighttime jungle tour where we saw like vipers and trees and sloths, and it was just like...
The only wildlife I see is the guys hanging out in the bar.
There's worse stuff, but man, I'm sorry. I know I'm rambling a little bit, but
I appreciate,
I'm very lightheaded.
I appreciate, first off, you guys coming up through and stopping in Prescott.
Absolutely. We'll come back anytime you have us.
We need entertainment here. And then personally, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. I know it's been a long trip leaving Stanhope's place.
Yeah, it was a
and
fun,
you're feeling
wild
you're
three days.
Feeling it now.
Yeah, I'm doing okay though, man. It was the type of thing like we started in Tucson Monday again after doing San Diego last week and Phoenix last night. And it was just like, Monday, the day after Super Bowl, like how? But it was great, you know. It was like. It's the type that was more the proving ground than anything, that like, you know, the last two shows have been packed and just great enthusiasm. And tonight, you know, tonight was super fun. And the type of thing, too, anytime we play a new market, it's like that to us is the proving ground. So it's like anybody here tonight, it's not that big of a scene here, I'm guessing, will be like, that dude dripped blood out of his face for 10 minutes but still finished
and
the
set. And kept going.
And then
I think
he's kind of arrogant because he went backstage and didn't come out for like 20 minutes to shake hands because I was covered in plasma.
I'll send you the pictures we got.
Please send me those photos because, but, you know, at JT Stand Up on Twitter, jtcomedy.com has all of my links and all that nonsense, and check out the special when it comes out in April.
Well, hey, I want to thank you for sitting down with some bonehead like me who works out of his van.
Don't discount yourself, man. Anybody that does a podcast or puts on shows like Adam, like, you guys are integral to the scene, and that should never be discounted, because you know that's something also that, you know, I never want to get to the point where people are like, you're too busy to do my podcast. No, you know, it's I appreciate what you guys do, and that stuff matters to
me.
Well,
I appreciate it. I spent 30 plus years in print journalism.
There you go.
And I would pop in as a photographer, and I would pop in to clubs like here. And when I started here 10 years ago, I would pop in bands or events here 5-10 minutes and out, and I never got to see anything. So that was one of the reasons. We just hit a year with the podcast.
Okay.
That was one of the reasons I did it. It's kind of an excuse to come out and hang out.
That's part of the reason my wife, she did all the photography for our magazine, Altercation. Part of the reason she stopped doing it, too, because she's like, I can't enjoy the show. Yeah. I just want to watch Nick Cave. I don't want to photograph.
See, and then my wife encouraged me to do the podcast because it gets me out of the house.
Right, but the fact that, I mean, when we rolled in here, the fact that I saw you had all your gear and that it was pro gear, that you were taking photos of not just Mishka and I, but all the acts, I'm like, you're the guy. Like, that's the guy that you need in every scene. And, man, you know, it's a weeknight. It's like a Wednesday night. Like, you've never seen us before. Like, I appreciate you coming out, so thanks.
Well, thanks. All right, well, I'm going to let you get to your
drink.
Yeah,
I got to go rehydrate and put some nasal saline in.
Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And talk to Adam for a little bit.
I will.
Put on the show.
JT, thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, you knucklehead.
And I'm back from drinking outside. I had a drink outside. It was kind of illegal, and I probably shouldn't be doing that because I'm a felon, you know what I mean?
But the good thing is
people had a great time. My friends were like, yes, I'm glad we came out on a Wednesday night and showed up because this was awesome. And, yeah, man, for Wednesday night, like,
all right.
Haberstadt.
All right, Adam.
Mishka.
We're going to close it out. And
yeah.
Me and you are going to talk because we're going to do a show on the 20th as well with Billy and Girl King and all those fine folks. So thanks a lot. Thanks to the folks at Lizards, and thanks to Mishka and JT. Well, that was it. Thank you so much, JT Haversat, for sitting down with me in the Mile High Show microphones. Check him out, jtcomedy.com, for news and info on his touring schedule, as well as info on his new CD that should be out shortly. And didn't get a chance to sit down and talk with him, but sure enjoyed the show of Mishka Shubali at mishkashubali.com. You can also hear his music prominently displayed with the Doug Stanhope podcast. Great time watching them. Great time sitting down and talking with JT. I believe Mishka will also be featuring at the Bird City Comedy Festival, I think. You know what? Check me on that. Check out birdcitycomedyfestival.com. Genevieve Rice and her group are putting that on April 8th, 9th, and 10th. birdcitycomedyfestival.com. Check out the site, like their pages, buy some tickets, see some great comedy. Thanks again to JT. Thanks again to Adam. Thanks to the folks at Lizards. And thanks for tuning in. Hey, do me a favor. Go to iTunes. Leave us a review and a rating. Type out a little couple of sentences. Tell people what you think of the show. It helps our visibility and then helps us get some advertisers. We need more listeners. We need more downloads. We need money. So do that.